This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Some secrets are kept in the basement, others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The other point of contention here in this that they've been arguing about is the Cellbrite data. This is the Googling of how's long to die in cold that the accusation is Jennifer McCabe did it at 2:20-something. But maybe it was 6:20-something or something like that. And the initial reaction from, you know, the Karen Reed camp when they had their person who tried to decipher the data, who was not a Cellbrite person, by the way, just an officer who said, yeah, it's pretty easy to read. Great, read it. And he came with a 2 a.m. number. Then Cellbrite came in, the actual creator of the program that says, you're reading it wrong. This is actually how it is. This is more for us to read on our end and a technical end, but here's technically what it is. There's time zone changes. There's things like this. We kind of operate with a Greenwich Mean Time or whatever, and it stays a certain stamp, so it's not always going to be accurate. Here's how to truly read it. When you read it correctly, it's 6-something. They don't like that answer. That doesn't go with the narrative. So facts be damned, and the actual company that has the instructions that say this is how to read it, they're saying, nah, we like reading it our own way. How is this an issue? And I know the judge, Judge Beverly, is looking at this going, should we allow the other witness in? And I know there's a recent ruling in another case that they let non-experts, you know, non-cell phone people in to give their expert opinion. So that's weighing on this as well. But I'm sorry, this is one where it's a fact, it's a fact. I don't care what side you're on. The experts told you this is how the program works. That's kind of end-all be-all for me. I don't really care what someone thinks it works or how they think it works if they're just not right.
Yeah, like, and I can't remember, what was his name, the Cellbrite guy? Do you remember his name? I can't remember what his name was.
But yeah.
But so the issue with him was that he wasn't quite that definitive. Like he had an opinion on it, but remember what kind of came out during his testimony is that he was actually creating his own software to deal with the deficiencies contained within Cellbrite.
Which Cellbrite then instituted and is actually across all their platforms now, because when they updated it, they decided to update it to be a little more clear on what the times actually mean, and then it translated them into accurate times.
Yeah, because it wasn't even a time thing as much as where the information was being stored.
Yeah.
And like an overriding thing. Like here's the way I felt, and I watched all of that testimony a couple of times because, Tony, the one thing that I wanted to know going into that fucking case was whether or not that text or whether or not that Google search took place at that time. Like, it, to me, that the entire case hinged on it.
Yeah.
Because if she's texting or if she's Googling that at that time, to me, it's game over, reasonable doubt. Like, why would she be doing that at that time? It makes no fucking sense. Like, she clearly, that means that they knew that he was laying out there. So, and I watched the testimony. I didn't find it as compelling as you did. Yep. I just didn't. And like, and I got no dog in the hunt.
Yeah.
I'm in neither camp, mm-hmm. You know, like I was the big third theory guy.
Yeah.
You know, Coyotes. I really was, you know, so it was like, you know, and I take shit for it, and I don't care. I could care less. Yeah. I have my own opinion. No one ever sways me on what I should think. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
You know, and I just, when you have some question, because experts are giving opinions, you know, and again, that goes to weight. You know, you're talking about weight. When you got, like, for you as a juror, if you've got that guy coming in who works for the damn company, you're giving that dude a ton of weight.
Yeah.
As a juror. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing it. You're saying, I don't give a fuck what that guy said from the defense, Green.
But he, I don't know that
matter to me because they got a guy from the company, and that guy from the company, you know what I'm saying? That goes to weight, not admissibility.
You and me look at it that way. I think a lot of people look at it that way. Not everybody looks at it that way. If just the words came out of someone's mouth, if they saw it in a tweet, if they read it somewhere, if it's on the internet, if it's what the fuck ever, Uncle Billy told me this one day, and I'm going to believe this now for the rest of my life. People have a hard time deciphering the weight of what an expert opinion is. And that's true. The scary part today. There are certainly experts out in industries, but people don't like to rely on their opinions. They like to think, I'm just as smart as you. And I mean, well, some people do. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that like to think they're just as smart as everybody else who's done everything. Instead of yielding and going, oh, this is, you made this? Well, clearly that's what it is. I don't think
self-righteous. Welcome to the life of a lawyer, dude. That's the thing that you're always terrified about. For instance, from like a defense attorney's perspective, I'm always mortified when, like, say, like, let's talk about the other case that we talk about all the time. When you talk about the unspent casing, I know from experience that if they're putting a lab tech that works for law enforcement on the stand to say that there's a match, they, being the jury, is going to give more weight to that witness than anybody I put on the stand.
Yep.
That's just because in the minds of jurors, they give more weight to law enforcement. They're the official agency. They do this for a living. They're the ones who are collecting the clues and they're evaluating the evidence. And juries just are more inclined to believe that witness than they are to somebody naysaying it. Sure. And it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody makes all the lawyers make all the arguments. Well, that's an employee of the state. They're going to say whatever the hell they need to say, you know, the state needs them to say in order to get a conviction. And it's the counter argument with the defense. Well, that guy's a hired gun. Mm-hmm. They're going to say whatever the defense needs them to say in order to get a you know, a not guilty. So it's like I always feel that experts, at least I always hope that they X each other out if the defense expert is compelling enough, you know, and that's best case scenario. Like, I think it's like you have to have like an unbelievably smoking gun, like expert witness on the defense to override whatever the state's putting just in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, jurors typically are just going to give more weight to the state's witness. So yeah, man, it's one of those things. And that hearing's coming up. We're going to see if they're going to allow Green in. You know, I mean, I think she's going to have to, because again, they have the opportunity to put on a defense.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, you can't just decide. It's not the judge's within her purview to decide that the defense can't put forth a defense and challenge evidence by putting their own expert on. You know, it's like you've got to leave it to the jurors to decide, okay, I'm buying what this guy is selling and I'm not buying what that person's selling. Well,
And I get that. But in this specific area with the Cellbright data, the company is literally saying, here's what it truly is. This is, I get you, your guy over there thought that's what it was, but it's not. So isn't that up to the judge to say, look, your guy over here is wrong. That's just, it is what it is. The company that makes it says this. I mean,
No, because Cellbright is like, Cellbright's not the end all, man.
But it's their data. They're telling you how to decipher their own data.
But
so if I decide to not read their directions and go, I think it means this and I'm wrong, it shouldn't be valid in court.
There are companies that exist in order to try to get the secret sauce of Apple. Entire companies, and Cellbright is one of them.
Yeah.
They exist because they've been trying to figure out what the secret sauce of Apple is, what's under their hood, how does it work? Because Apple doesn't tell anybody a damn thing. Mm-hmm. They keep all of their proprietary shit super secret. And there are literally very, very financially healthy companies that exist merely because they spend all their time, money, and resources trying to break Apple's code and figure out what the fuck they have in those phones that is basically tracking every single part of our lives, from health data, all of it. So, I mean, and Cellbright's just a company that's doing that. I mean, they're literally one of those companies that does it. And now they have competitors. A lot of law enforcement has shifted away from Cellebrite. All I'm saying to you is Cellebrite's not so definitive that I think that Judge Bev can sit on the bench and say, well, that's it. Like Cellebrite's the end all be all. Whatever that corporation says and whatever one of their employees says and how it works, that's definitive for me. Like that's she's deciding an issue of fact. That is left for the trier of fact. That is left for the jury. That's my point, man. Okay. You just can't. Like, that's not for the judge to decide. Now, if she decides that, look, this is junk that your guy is bringing in, meaning Green, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's like, I just don't find him to be learned enough to be able to rebut. Like, he's not bringing anything to the table. He's just coming in with a word salad. And he's not giving any kind of alternate theory. He's just saying the opposite of what their expert is saying, but not giving any basis behind it. There's no science behind what he's saying. That's a different story. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you always want to be able to challenge evidence.
Sure.
But really, you see this a lot more from the defense where they're trying to keep out science that the state's trying to put forth. I mean, that's typically what you see. That's not to say that it doesn't happen the other way, because it does. Typically it's us trying to keep out some new tech, some new science. They're coming in. They're like, I had a case where there was this new company called True Allele, and they were able to take YSTR data, and they were able to extrapolate it to a much in their what they were claiming was that they were able to give us a much greater analysis. However, when we had our DNA expert who wanted to look at their kind of their algorithm, what was their black box stuff, the guy was like, there's no way. He's like, I'm never going to turn that over. It's proprietary. Yeah. If I give that out, then every company on the planet now has. But the problem with that was that he couldn't prove his science.
Yeah.
We had no way to prove what he was saying was true. So, like, you know, in that case, the judge excluded True Allele. Mm-hmm. Now, that company, I've checked in on that company, like in the world of courts, they've been able to make their way in. I don't know how. I don't know if he just, you know, they had judges that, because I mean, you need peer review.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have peer review to make sure that, you know, what you're saying is legitimate. I mean, you can't just trust some dude.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm a scientist. I said it so it's so. No, yeah. Show me the work, bro. I need to see the work. So I hear what you're saying. That'll be another really interesting hearing with Green. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.